Hi, this is Dean Kuntz. Welcome to the podcast. I thought today I'd talk a little bit about reviewers and reviewing, because I've been reviewed a lot, and I've done a little bit of it. I've been fortunate with critics over the years. I've probably gotten 90% good reviews. I always get some bad ones. Some of the bad ones can be very, very mean, and you have to let that roll off you. I remember a critic once wrote about a book of mine, Kuntz writes know-nothing tales glorifying lesbianism, and no matter how awful the books are, readers are duped into buying them. Yet other writers, far better than he, sit with drawers full of rejected manuscripts. I read that paragraph and thought, I think I know who that writer is with a drawer full of rejected manuscripts. But what was interesting to me about that was there was no lesbianism in the novel I had written about, let alone any that I would have been glorifying. And I thought, I don't think that reviewer has actually read the book. Well, that became a feature of a number of bad reviews I had over the years. I had one writer write, Kuntz, writing his imitative series of vampire novels, must be laughing all the way to the bank. Two things about that bother me. I've never written a vampire novel in my life, let alone a series of them. But I always thought, laughing all the way to the bank, what a cliche for a critic to use. And besides the fact, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You can just imagine what bank would take the check if you strolled in laughing hysterically. So when I was asked to write reviews. The New York Times asked me to write some reviews. I hesitated, and I remembered something that Joyce Carol Oates had written about reviewers. And this is very pungent indeed. Joyce Carol Oates wrote, "Reviewing is an activity in which those who doubt their own worth can express in print doubt of others' worth, in which the morally reprehensible can pass judgment on the presumed moral of a book, in which the slovenly can masquerade as lovers of the orderly, the pure, the classic." I wondered that she ever got a good review after saying that about reviewers, but she did. And you get good ones and you get bad ones, and I was determined that if I was going to write reviews for the New York Times, I would try to write ones that were fair. I would actually read the book, and I would not be mean to it. I would try to judge it well. The first thing that the Times sent me, and I said, please don't send me any fiction, because I'll feel awkward about reviewing other novelists. I'd rather review nonfiction that I might have an interest in, so they agreed to that. And they sent me a book by C.D.B. Bryan, who was the author of Friendly Fire, one of the famous books about Vietnam. And he had written a book about a professor of psychology at Harvard who had chaired a 3-day conference at MIT on the subject of alien abduction. Well, this sounded interesting because I've written about aliens, and I know about as much as anyone else knows about alien abduction who sees the front cover of the National Enquirer once in a while they're standing in line at the supermarket. So the book came, and I plunged into the subject and got increasingly freaked out by the nature of the stories in it and by the deadly seriousness with which it had been taken. Now, C.D.B. Bryant had written actually a quite wonderfully written book, and he does no judgmentalism of anything in the book, but I wasn't quite so capable of that non-judgmentalism as I would read these stories of people's alien abductions. And, you know, I'm proud of my species of human beings, proud of what we've been able to accomplish. We have the largest forebrain on the planet. It's really huge by other standards. Birds and lizards have forebrains, but nowhere near as big as ours. And dogs have forebrains, not as big as ours. Movie producers have forebrains. They just choose not to use them. We have an opposable thumb, so we can use tools. That makes us preeminent on the planet. And, of course, it also makes it possible for us to use effective gestures on the freeway when the traffic is stopped up. But one thing I'm not so proud about our species is we lack humility to an amazing extent. And you read Mr. Bryant's book about these people gathered at this serious academic conference to study alien abductions, and you listen to these alien abduction stories. All the other things we are singularly as a species on this planet, we are also the only species that believes itself to be under clandestine observation by extraterrestrials. And this seems to lack humility tremendously. Why, it seems to me, would people be coming from the other end of the universe to study the species that has given you, my novels, Beavis and Butthead, Madonna. I don't see why we would be of such interest to them. But Bryant did the book extremely well and gave a good background on it. And the real modern interest in ETs sprung from a book by Whitley Strieber, about his own abduction. And from this book has arisen a kind of standard abduction scenario I discovered as I was reviewing this book, in which same sort of things happened. People are taken up to the mothership reliably. They're often floated up in an anti-gravity beam. Once they're in the mothership, they strap them down. And this is the thing that amazed me reading the book. One of the things that happened to virtually all of them is they have a rectal examination. The aliens give them a colonoscopy. Now, this seems particularly weird to me. It's part of all these stories. But what does this say about the human ego? We think we are so interesting and so complex that a superior race of vastly intelligent aliens will come all the way across the galaxy to look up our butts. This is an alien superior intelligence that is seriously disturbed. In the sequel to this best-selling account, Whitley wrote a book about these alien proctologists came back, and they floated him up to the ship again, and this time they took his cat with him. And it's true, it's in the book, and it's even referred to by Mr. Bryant. Now, I have this picture in my head of these little humanoid perverts. After their first visit, they go back across the galaxy to Glorg, that's probably the name of their planet, and they go to the throne of the High Ruler of Glorg, and they report to him, did you go to Earth? Did you abduct the human novelist? And yes, we did. And did you give him a rectal examination? Yes, we did. Did you do this? Did you do that? Yes, we did. And did you give his cat proctological examination? And I see these little aliens standing in front of the High Throne of Glorg, all uniformly smacking their foreheads at the same time because they've forgotten the cat. Now they have to come all the way back across the galaxy to perform that last event. Well, I read and reviewed this book of Bryant's and gave it a rave review because I thought the book was fascinating because of his honesty and his directness, and because he did not mock, as I have just done, this whole genre. He let it speak for itself, and it was funny at times and at other times moving or interesting. And I gave that as my first review, or my second review I had ever done, and that was the first review for the New York Times. My first review I'd ever done was I reviewed another novelist. Now, if you remember what I said somewhat earlier in this podcast, I told the New York Times I don't want to review novelists, and that was because I had once before reviewed a novelist, and I'd given him a rave review, but I had had one line in it that mentioned a couple of grammatical errors that I thought an editor should have caught. So this had been a rave review of a book, except for one negative comment, but I learned a valuable lesson. For the next 10 or 15 years, every time that writer spoke in public, every time he did an interview, every time he had an opportunity in any venue to slam me or to slam my work, he did, and with considerable venom. And I learned that even a rave review with only one tiny negative in it can earn you the undying enmity of a fellow writer. And I can understand that. Thanks for listening to this installment of the Dean Koontz Podcast. My new novel, The Husband, is in stores now, and I hope you pick it up, and I hope you enjoy it. And be sure to visit my website, deankoontz.com.